This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome to the inaugural Shortcut Early Bird Podcast, presented in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. You can find them online at www.nysta.org. Every week, we at the Cornell Turfgrass Program will be summarizing the important growing season topics in the northeastern United States as identified by experts from around the region. I'm Carl Scamenti, a Turfgrass Extension Associate here at Cornell. With me, as always, to review the latest growing season updates is Dr. Frank Rossi.
All right, Frank. So tell us kind of a little bit about the winter weather, how that's going to affect the upcoming turf growing season.
So we were with Art DiGaetano today on Thursday, March 30th, and got a winter summary from the director of the Northeast Climate Center. And Art was telling us that we sort of had a normal start to the winter temperature-wise in December. And then, of course, January was warm and February was record warm. Many of those 2 months in the top five across the board in warmest ever. And then March started to get significantly cooler. Ithaca and South was warmer than normal, but Ithaca and North was colder than normal. So rainfall and precip was sort of middle of the road. It wasn't the driest. It wasn't the wettest. But certainly everybody is agreeing that the snowfall that came there towards the end on ground that wasn't frozen is probably going to help with one of the biggest water problems we're facing, Carl, moving forward, and that is the significant depletion and lack of recharge of the groundwater. So that looks like a big particular issue here. So across the board, you know, Art would say, you know, it was another winter that wasn't. But it was more than the winter before. So we obviously got some benefits from this winter at the very end here, especially in improving some deficits.
Yeah. So, you know, one area in particular, Art and some other people commented on was Connecticut, that they some regions of Connecticut didn't quite get that groundwater recharge. And maybe how you can talk a little bit about how that's going to affect their ability to irrigate.
So we've already been hearing from Jerry Giordano, our cooperative extension educator in Westchester County, and Victoria Wallace, the University of Connecticut turf extension specialist, that restrictions are already in place starting April 1st for Fairfield County, that southeastern, southwestern Connecticut area that butts right into New York. Stream flow and groundwater levels are low, and they're already having meetings and restricting things. So it's not good when for people in those areas that they're already starting the season with restrictions. So it is something we're going to keep a very close eye on. And I would say one of the bigger red flags we heard from the field in today's conversation.
So another issue that came up was ticks, and Joellen mentioned you know, some of that weather in February kind of affecting the host organisms for ticks. So what did we hear about that?
So you know, the tick issue, right? The white-footed mouse, the small rodents. As we've been talking about this over the last couple of years, as the concern for Lyme disease and ticks are growing, Joellen Lampman, our IPM's specialist with the New York State IPM program, doing a couple of research projects in this area. One of the things she's been bracing us for is a few years ago, or last year, it was a mast year for trees, and especially oaks. Lots of acorns fell. You generally see a rise in the rodent population on the result of that. And, you know, one of the things people don't realize about ticks is they got to grab onto something. It's not like they're just sitting there and they're going to, you know, sort of be on the grass. And they got to jump onto a mammal and then jump onto another one. And they play this hop, skip, and jump through four-legged creatures that have the things, or two-legged creatures even, that have the things that they want. So we're going to, again, keep a very close eye on that tick population and say one more thing about the New York State IPM program, that her and Lynn Braband, another IPM specialist, Lynn specializes in wildlife pest control. He's a wildlife specialist from the beginning, and he's been doing some really cool work with school districts on using the use of remote control vehicles to disperse geese and other wildlife that are on the field. So Lynn and Joellen are actively out there trying to reach school grounds managers, particularly with this issue getting that information out. So a couple of things from IPM. First of all, the tick issue, we're going to watch that closely. And second, the nuisance wildlife and programs that they're doing. There's a current webinar that you can attend associated with some of this pest control that they're doing on school grounds.
Yeah. So, all right, to wrap this up a little bit, Frank, let's talk about kind of the weather forecast for the next week and how that may affect the diseases or any management practices.
Right, right. Okay, so Rich Buckley, he's always excited when Art DiGaetano says we're going to have a cool, wet condition. Or anytime we get moisture in the system, people who make a living on death and destruction of plants get very excited. So Rich was really thrilled to hear that we are in a pretty wet pattern now for at least the next couple of weeks. Now, that has two components to it, right? The forecast that Art's calling for on the seasonably cool side, so within normal, but on the cool side, and wet. So that sounds like it's going to be worse than normal. Two things come up. First of all, the landscapers and people who want to work on the turf, if it's a saturated system, the last thing you want to do is be driving on it and walking on it. So just this sort of patience you have is something that our industry sometimes struggles with at this time of the year. And we also heard from other people, applications are already going out of pre-emergent materials and things like that in the urban landscape. So we get a little concerned when the system's saturated and we start doing that. But on the side of Buckley, he gets excited because now we're likely to see more microdochium patch. We're likely to see more red thread, which we've already had some reports of this thing. He's had some overwintering anthracnose submitted already, right? So there's POA seed heads, and we didn't talk much about seed heads because a lot of guys have moved to fall applications with POA seed heads. So there are seed heads out there. Forsythias are already bloomed in late February and look like they got killed a little bit in March. And then finally, the thing that Rich left us with, he's been checking in with the ABW people, right? So Ben McGraw, Penn State, Ron Ferentino, who is runs a scouting company here in New York State. Two reports. Ben McGraw says he's finding them at overwintering sites. And Rod Ferentino says he's finding them out into the fairway already. And, both things can be true. They can be in overwintering sites depending on the location, and they can overwinter when the winters are not severe in places where they would be feeding as well. So clearly we're off to a very interesting start already, Carl, and the lack of sort of intense winter to reset the whole system is again something we're going to have to deal with the whole year. So we're very excited to get our 18th season of Shortcut started and looking forward to seeing people enjoy this Early Bird podcast.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.